Welcome to the Pharma Podcast, conversations with industry experts and business leaders about important and current topics in pharma, biotech, and medtech. I'm your host, Sam Tarantino. On this episode of the Pharma Podcast, my guest is Greg Rutherford, Chief Commercial Officer at Apex Lab, a Vancouver-based, patient-driven pharmaceutical company that develops and commercializes clinically evaluated psilocybin-derived treatments to tackle the most critical unmet need in depression, anxiety, PTSD among veterans and the general public. Welcome to the podcast, Greg.
Thanks for having me, Sam. It's good to be here.
Excellent. So tell us about yourself, Apex Labs, and how it got started.
Absolutely. So I've worked a little bit more than 25 years in pharmaceuticals, had the pleasure of starting my career and spending at least half of it in Canada, and then had a chance to work in the United States, and then took on global responsibilities. Throughout the pharmaceutical career, I've always really focused on addressing unmet clinical need. And I'm real excited in the fact that I joined Apex a couple of years ago, predominantly because when I saw their program and saw what their mission statement was, and that was to address the clinical unmet need within PTSD, as well as depression and anxiety. And having worked for a while within the SSRI area of treating depression, I really gravitated towards that as something that I wanted to pursue. I'll tell you a little something about Apex. They were founded about 4 years ago. The original Canadian company head office is based in Vancouver, though the founders are sprinkled across Canada and the United States. The original founders came from a background of we had an experienced pharmaceutical researcher. We had a psilocybin scientist. We had a decorated Canadian military vet with a high business acumen, and as well, we had a very experienced entrepreneur. And the company is focused on addressing the unmet need as it relates to mild to moderate to severe depression within a diagnosis of PTSD that could include anxiety. And when you think about depression, we know that you basically have to address those segments, be it mild to moderate or severe, in a more appropriate, tailored way, which is why Apex has two drug assets. They have a macro dose asset. We also have a microdose asset. Both of these assets have been approved by Health Canada for phase 2B, and we've got everything cooking in that direction right now. I also wanted to say that we are focused on the veteran community because that community really represents the most obvious unmet clinical need as it relates to PTSD. But certainly, especially post-pandemic, we are seeing PTSD in first responders and across the general public. So this opportunity to address this unmet need, I think, covers a great deal of the population.
Thanks, Greg. Can you explain, so what psilocybin is and how is it different from other hallucinogenic substances?
Happy to. So psilocybin is a naturally occurring psychedelic that's a compound found in certain species of mushrooms. We often refer to it as magic mushrooms. And when psilocybin is converted into the body, it's converted into psilocin. And this interacts with serotonin receptors in the brain, and this leads to changes in perceptions and thoughts and emotions. So if you just think about current standard of care for depression, it's often an SSRI choice. And we know that SSRIs block the reuptake of serotonin, and therefore, but in doing so, pre-cleft, increase the amount of serotonin. Psilocybin is thought to mimic serotonin, directly activating serotonin receptors in the brain. So when you talk to clinicians who have been working with psilocybin, they refer to the mode of action as almost a rebooting or a decluttering of the brain, allowing one to experience new perspectives or freeing up of some of the old burden of perspectives that they used to have. And this opens them up to doing better on drugs, doing better on other therapies or other approaches to relieving their trauma.
So what's the current understanding of how psilocybins affect the brain and its potential therapeutic benefits?
to answer this, I'll focus on three areas. One would be on the serotonin system. So psilocin targets the 5-HT2A serotonin receptors, and this will lead to an altered neural signaling impacting regions involved in mood, perception, and cognition. It also has been found to reduce the activity of the default mode network within the brain. And I don't want to get too technical, but this is a region of the brain that is really focusing or allows for the inducing of a state of heightened introspection and expanded consciousness. So this is the decluttering element of the mode of action. It allows one to look at things maybe a little bit differently. And studies have also suggested that psilocybin can promote brain neuroplasticity. And this allows the brain to actually reorganize and form new connections. And this leads to new novel insights and therapeutic effects. And again, declutters, opens up one to getting a better impact from therapeutic intervention, so to speak.
So essentially, you're rewiring the brain.
Yeah, and you don't want to say that in a way that scares people. You're allowing the brain to expand the way it deals with its trauma. Whatever it is that you are trying to deal with and move through, psilocybin seems to allow yourself to approach this problem in a new way.
So there has been growing interest in psilocybins over the years as a potential treatment for PTSD. Can you explain the rationale behind this and what research has been done so far?
Yeah. It really boils down to the fact that you've got a profound unmet clinical need right now in the treatment of PTSD. And, you know, to understand PTSD is to appreciate that it's a debilitating, it's a brutal condition that overwhelmingly right now impacts our veteran community, our first responders. And the current standard of care to treat PTSD is, by all accounts, and this is very much in the public domain, to a degree suboptimal. PTSD is a cluster of symptoms that includes depression, anxiety. It involves the intrusion of traumatic memories that an individual just can't rid themselves of. And with that comes the associated emotional distress. So psilocybin has been studied in PTSD because, A, there's an unmet clinical need, but also because from a side effect profile perspective, it's signaled and it has shown good efficacy against depression and anxiety, but it does not have that bundle of side effects associated with SSRIs. Research also shows that it seems to improve depression symptoms and mood disorders, and it can help a patient modulate their own fear response system, reducing fear and anxiety when they have to deal with trauma. Psilocybin has also demonstrated the ability to promote emotional processing and facilitate the resolution of traumatic memories. So when you think about PTSD, that's why it certainly seems to be a very strong candidate and is being studied.
Yeah, would that also include like end-of-life anxiety or dealing with a traumatic diagnosis?
Yeah. I mean, PTSD, being that cluster of symptoms, is dealing with any form of trauma. And so, and I've learned a lot about this as I've started working with Apex. It's just not trauma on the battlefield. You know, the trauma was so present during the pandemic with first responders in the hospital setting. Fire first responders are dealing with trauma. I think about what first responders must deal with each and every time they happen upon an accident that they have to deal with on the 401. So there are many, many, many people right now walking around with PTSD, and there's a real reduction or a real absence of clarity as to how they can seek and obtain and get access to the best forms of treatment. And again, when I mentioned what motivates me, this clinical unmet need is what we are addressing at Apex.
Yeah. I would say also general public, right? Anyone diagnosed with a life-threatening disease, you know, in dealing with that anxiety, the unknown, and the trauma sometimes that comes with that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it was only not too long ago in my pharmaceutical experience that we started to better understand an absence of adherence with patients not being able to have the appropriate coping mechanisms. And this is an offshoot of that, most definitely. It's the ability for one to deal with their own trauma and to have the coping mechanisms. And if they don't have them inherent or naturally, they are going to need help.
Yeah, yeah. So what are some of the key findings from these studies investigating psilocybin treating PTSD and anxiety?
So psilocybin has been, it's involved right now in a great many studies. In the military veteran community, for instance, the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs is currently undertaking five separate studies, all looking at the benefit of PTSD within the veteran community. And right now it's showing great efficacy and improvement. And the measurement scores, by the way, are the same measurement scores that the SSRIs had to I'm jumping around, but the Beck disorder and all the different scales that are used, CAP-5 and this and that are the same reference scales that were used for regulatory approval for the SSRIs. Well, these are the same scores involved in these clinical studies with veterans and other patient profiles as it relates to PTSD. Another trial, a very large trial, was conducted by Compass Pathways across 22 different international sites, and they found that psilocybin alongside psychological support had a significant impact on drug-resistant depression. And I also, prior to us having this conversation, looked up the results of another study that's been undertaken by John Hopkins, and they've shown that psilocybin showed very strong efficacy in relieving symptoms associated with major depressive disorder.
So how does psilocybin therapy differ from traditional forms of therapy for PTSD, such as cognitive behavioral therapy?
Yeah. So, and I'll refer to that as CBT. So CBT is focused on exposing an individual to the trauma that is controlling them. And in doing so, it can cause a re-traumatization of that patient, and other side effects can potentially worsen as a result of this exposure. And what's unique about psilocybin is psilocybin can be as part of assisted therapy combined with CBT for those severe depressive patients. And the actions that I described earlier that psilocybin undertakes within one's brain can allow for better introspection and enhancement of emotional processing for the patients, helping patients access and explore their own emotions, their memories, and thought patterns in a deeper and more introspective manner. And in this way, it really enhances the CBT therapy as well. What we look to aim, or what we aim to do at APEX with our clinical trial program, is to demonstrate that CBT plus psilocybin in replacement of SSRIs can bring about better results. And for those patients that don't require CBT and are maybe dealing with moderate to less severe depression, our microdose, which is a take-home dosing regimen, is meant to demonstrate efficacy versus SSRIs for that patient profile. Now, we've spoken to patients who are engaged in psilocybin treatment, and what they describe is having a transcendent impact on their view of their own trauma, allowing them to look at the process from outside and dealing with it as an outside observer versus living in it. And I just equate that to an analogy of the weight is not on you. You are looking at it and applying your own ability to deal with that trauma or that event without feeling the weight of it. Psilocybin is currently being described by many researchers as a breakthrough therapy for depression. And we know since depression is frequently associated with PTSD, as is anxiety, that's why we're looking at that patient profile that includes PTSD diagnosis with depression and anxiety.
You mentioned microdosing versus macrodosing. Could you, just for our audience, explain the difference?
Yeah. So macrodosing would be a large dose taken in a given day, and that would be over a period of a 28-day period, you'd be taking a single dose. In our clinical trial, we are looking at this dosing regimen over a 3-month period. Whereas a microdose is a daily dose. It's a sub psychedelic dose. So you're dealing with the ability for the brain interaction with psilocybin, but you're not experiencing the psychedelic effect, which makes it a daily dosing. So, for instance, in our microdosing study, we're also conducting similar studies related to PK and better understanding, when one is able to drive or operate machinery. That's all part of the study. But in a nutshell, macrodosing is an in-clinic setting with clinical support, often accompanied with CBT, and it's over a period of months. Microdosing is meant to be in one's home. It's a fulfillment at a community pharmacy, hopefully, and it is daily dosing, very much like one takes an SSRI today.
Got it. All right, so what are the potential risks and side effects associated with psilocybin therapy?
The risks that have been described and captured in studies to date include headache, nausea, and dizziness. But no strong adverse events have occurred, these are not debilitating.
All right. So can you share some success stories or anecdotes about individuals who've benefited from psilocybin therapy?
And I do want to say that I think there's so much great study going on right now, including what we're doing at Apex, that the next 6 months are going to be really, really interesting, because we're going to see an awful lot of the demonstrated and reporting of the data occur. But I do want to mention one of the groups that we work very closely with is a group called the Heroic Hearts Project. And this is a dedicated veteran organization here in Canada that have helped hundreds of veterans overcome their suffering of PTSD, providing them with access to psychedelic therapy, psychedelic clinics or treatment clinics, who, by the way, we are very close with right now, because they are the clinics that we are learning from, and they are involved in our clinical studies. They also help the veterans with professional coaching and peer support and other resources to empower their healing along their journey. And we talk on a regular basis, and we receive great insights from this group as it relates to the benefit of psilocybin in PTSD. We also work with the key PTSD treaters, like I mentioned, and our understanding from them is that they have seen in their own practice tremendous improvement on all the scales that I previously mentioned related to depression and anxiety and overall PTSD. But they're also seeing many of their patients who are taking psilocybin illicitly. They are finding their own psilocybin source. There is no consistency in their dosing. And so we worked with these clinicians to determine our dose approach within our own clinical trial based on the overwhelming improvement they saw with their dose selection. So we've talked to these stakeholders at great length, and we've heard all the success stories from their own eyes. Recently, a Canadian Armed Force veteran by the name of Kelsey Sharon testified in front of the Senate Subcommittee for Veteran Affairs, and she was advocating insurance coverage for psilocybin treatment from Veteran Affairs. She's also currently a patient on our APEX Early Access Program. Kelsey's background is that at the age of 21, she was on 11 drugs, being a military vet. She was diagnosed with PTSD, and she cites back that had it not been for psilocybin-assisted therapy, she wouldn't be here today. And the great news is she's now an advocate. She is openly lobbying Veteran Affairs and our Canadian government to open things up, and she's now running a thriving business, is a mother, and she reminds us each and every time we talk to her that had it not been for psilocybin, she wouldn't be doing what she's doing today.
That's amazing. Well, apart from PTSD, are there any other mental health conditions that psilocybin may be beneficial for?
Yeah, right now psilocybin is being studied for alcohol dependency disorder, for Alzheimer's, for drug addiction disorders, standalone depression, standalone anxiety, and like we are doing as well, we are looking at it as those symptoms underneath the PTSD diagnosis.
So what's the legal status of psilocybin and globally, and how does it impact research and access to treatment?
Yeah, that's a great question. So in the United States, psilocybin is scheduled as a Schedule 1, and it's not legal. And in Canada, it's scheduled as a Schedule 3, which means it's illegal to possess. But you're able to, by filing the right documents and working with the right stakeholders, gain access to study psilocybin in clinical trials. And also, Canada has given us the opportunity to successfully run a psilocybin special access program. And I think that's the first in world for this to occur. So this allows us not only to gather demonstrated benefit in clinical data outcomes from a clinical setting study, but also as we continue to enroll patients in our special access program, and Sam, I know you'll appreciate this based on our backgrounds, we're also able to gather real world data setting benefit. So coupling that is really, really important for us going forward. We've successfully processed many SAP applications working with Health Canada and Veteran Affairs. And this is being granted to our military veterans who qualify the same inclusion quality, same inclusion criteria as our clinical trials. They are qualifying under the same inclusion for access to the special access program. And I do want to mention as well, another key requirement to be able to study psilocybin is to ensure that you have GMP manufacturing status. And we, in fact, at Apex have that not only in our Canadian supplier, but also we have a U.S. supplier as well, because we will also be working with the FDA on our regulatory pathway as well. So we have a primary and a second primary manufacturer partner for our psilocybin.
So how important is it to educate the public and healthcare professionals about its potential benefits and risks?
It's exceedingly important. We know right now that we are experiencing a mental health crisis, not just in Canada, but around the world. We also know that this was only made worsened by the pandemic. And so knowing and all the learning that I mentioned that we've gathered from stakeholders about how patients are self-medicating, finding their own access to psychedelics or psilocybin through illicit means, they are untested product. We don't know if there's consistency with dosing. I think it's so important that we provide access to education, provide access to information, and are conducting clinical trials within a clinical setting. Having these trials and their protocols approved by Health Canada allows us to appropriately demonstrate efficacy and as well safety that can then be passed on and communicated to the general public. We also are educating our stakeholders who are treaters, the clinic setting, all the advocates. We're just working together to provide access to appropriate information to allow treatment choice to be made by both patient and clinician.
So looking ahead, what are some of the key challenges and opportunities in the field of psilocybin research for PTSD and brain health?
We know that psilocybin has demonstrated very strong benefit right now for depression, for anxiety. And we also know that there is demonstrating from its safety profile unique advantage compared to the SSRI. So we hope that the standard of care can move towards a psilocybin choice. We know as well that we have a very strong supply of GMP psilocybin drug approved by Health Canada. So we believe that we can garner and facilitate good access to this treatment. We are moving down the road of clinical study with Health Canada, and we hope to do so as well with FDA and eventually over to the European Union. So we believe that by appropriately running approved clinical trials with the right protocols and demonstrating benefit, we'll secure reimbursement through approval in the exact same similar way that drugs go through the approval process. I mean, our mission at Apex is to introduce a treatment option that has demonstrated superior benefit versus the standard of care and ensure that every Canadian or every constituent in whatever country we get reimbursement and approval in have access to this med.
Greg, any final insights you want to share with the audience?
It's just that I, too, like many people maybe listening, did not think of a psychedelic option as a drug option, as a treatment option. As I have started to learn more, and certainly over the last 2 years, what I've come to appreciate are a couple of things. First, for a number of reasons, and you can see a number of these reasons documented on any Netflix dedicated show you decide to pursue. For decades, psychedelics and psilocybin were studied to highlight and demonstrate what was wrong. But it's only been recently, in the last 10 years or so, that we've seen a great deal of study focused on what's good and what's the potential and what's right. And we are seeing a great number of studies underway right now that are demonstrating true benefit. And I hope that we can continue down this path. And I hope that everyone can see the stigma that they associate with psychedelics go away and start to really learn about the clinical benefit and the improved outcomes that they are associated with.
Greg, thank you for being a guest on the Pharma Podcast and sharing your story. How can our listeners connect with you?
Real simple. Just send me an email at greg@apexlabs.com. So all lowercase, greg@apexlabs.com.
Contact details for Greg will be made available on our website at thepharmapodcast.com. Thank you for listening. The Pharma Podcast is available to listen to for free on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and on our website at thepharmapodcast.com. And we're also available on YouTube. Please subscribe and follow me on LinkedIn to stay up to date on future podcasts. Thank you for listening.